Welcome to the Adventures in Podcasting.
RSS. XML. What is that? Who cares? Podcasting? Who are you kidding? You just want a new toy. That's what they told me, but I thought differently. I thought all this cool stuff had value in K-12 education. Welcome to Adventures in Podcasting. My name's Sean Wheeler, and at the time of these podcasts, I'm the Director of IMT Services and Training for the Peoria Unified School District. That's Arizona, by the way. These podcasts, well, they're an audio archive of my adventure in bringing RSS and podcasts to the students and community of PUSD. Sit back and enjoy the ride.
Alrighty, welcome back to Adventures in Podcasting. This is podcast number 102 for March 2nd, 2008. It's about 7:05 here in the Adventures in Podcasting studio as I get started, and we'll see how long it takes to do the show today. I'm already on my fourth take of getting the show started today, but you don't know that because it's podcasting and I started over. Oh, wait, I know I said I never edit. I didn't say I don't just make stuff go away, though. Hey, nonetheless, in this show, as always, PUSD Podcasting Updates, followed by PUSD RSS Updates, followed by RSS and Podcasting Tools, and finally, rounding out the show, we'll have other items worth mentioning. And now, to pass the microphone off to that little singing star, Frederica.
You get the best of both, Fred.
I can just never get enough of that, can you? Hey, I don't know, maybe I missed my calling. Maybe it should have been an AM radio station disc jockey. What do you think? You know, who knows? Never can tell. You know, if this education gig doesn't work, maybe I can always go into AM radio. That ought to do well. Hey, at any rate, PUSD Podcasting Updates. Not a lot went on this week. There's a lot of other things going on, which seems to be my normal state of life right now. Nonetheless, I found out later in the week that Dr. Santarelli was back in studio doing his podcast video cast that is going to go out to the entire community. So that's huge in my mind. The best part about this is this went on without me knowing anything about it, which is the best part. So by the time I get actually involved in this, it's just going to be, hey, Sean, this is uploaded, check it out. And that's kind of cool because that means it's going on without me prodding it, and I kind of like that. That's a good thing to know about, or a good thing to have happening nonetheless. So at any rate, that I think that's kind of cool. Hopefully by next week that'll be out. Hopefully by sometime tomorrow the next day it'll be out. And of course I'll share that on next week's show because that would be something cool that went on this week. Also, this week I met with the folks who are doing the Living History in PUSD project, otherwise known as the WW2 project. I've talked about this a little bit in the past. I believe I talked about it in the last show, in fact. Nonetheless, I met with Tad and Carlene this week. And this has taken a different turn than what it originally started out, mostly due to money and other people involved in it. But nonetheless, it's really, really a cool thing. As I told you before in the start of this, this is going to be just audio podcast, and it's turned into getting quite a few more people involved in it. They actually have some video of the veterans and some pictures from the veterans that are being scanned in, and the video is being merged with their voice and everything, and they're actually going to create some digital stories out of these. So I can't wait until these things are actually published. My process in it was to kind of talk to them about what they were going to do and give them a place for all this stuff to live and help them make sure they were on the right track with that. So my part was really, really minimal. Nonetheless, it's something that I'm so happy to see happening. And this is all started by one of the folks out in the schools. And he went out, found some money, got a grant for the recorders, and then got another grant to get some additional folks involved. And that's how they got the video in here. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks that'll be absolutely live. I believe they've got a March 12th deadline to get that thing ready to rock and roll. And so, you know, maybe by next time, next podcast or the week after that, we should be able to share a link to that. And I really look forward to checking that stuff out. So a couple cool things going on in the district, even though it was a slow week, that those things are still good to see happening. And I'm going to pause here for station identification, and I'll be back with PUSD RSS updates.
Scooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Scooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now.
Alrighty, as we talk about PUSD and RSS updates this week, what I'm going to actually tell you about is not something that has been done yet. It will actually happen after I do the show. And This is actually a link that Peggy George sent to me today, and actually she pulled it off of Terry Friedman's blog site. And this is called MoFuse. Mobi. I guess it's mobile, Mobi. Let me double check the address on this. www.mofuse.mobi. And what this is, reading the webpage, it says MoFuse is an application site creation application. No, MoFuse is a mobile site creation application. Boy, I can't read tonight. Hey, I'm on a roll. For best results, we recommend that you access MoFuse from a desktop computer. You can, however, make use of most of the MoFuse functions by clicking the number 0. And basically what this thing's going to allow you to do is put your RSS feed into the MoFuse tool. And from there, it actually creates a link for you. And I've got it in my show notes for my particular blog. And so my particular blog would be seanwheeler.mofuse.mobi. And it actually displays your feed inside, I'm going to call it a makeshift PDA system or mobile phone or something like that. In fact, I actually have a link where you can preview it in a simulated iPhone. And what the idea here is this sets up your XML code for a mobile device. And Peggy said she signed up for Terry's, and I saw this morning. I was down in Tucson at my buddy's house, and I thought, hey, I'll try this for my blog. So I quickly set it up and fired it back to Peggy and said, I've got one too. And by the time I got back from Tucson today, she sent me a note and said she signed up for mine as well. So check this out. This is kind of cool. And I thought about putting it under under RSS tools, but I shoved it under PSD updates, because when I get done with the show tonight, I'm actually going to set this up for the governing board agendas, and I'm going to set it up for the PSD news. I think both of these might be something that somebody would want to tie into off their mobile phone. At any rate, at least it's another opportunity for them to pull something in on their mobile phone, content-wise, for the school district. So I'm gonna do that after the show, and of course I'll let you know how that works out. But nonetheless, I thought that was pretty cool, and I thought I'd try it, and it worked out cool. So hey, I'll share it with you. Alrighty, that wraps up PSD RSS updates, and I think it's time to take a breather here, and I'll be right on back with what it comes after that. Oh, yeah, RSS and podcasting tools. So I'll be right on back. See ya.
You get the best of both friends.
And we're back. You know, I got an overwhelming urge to make a silly commercial to put in here when these transition parts just for fun. But who knows? Maybe I'll do it. We're at the point of the show where we talk about RSS and podcasting tools. And at this point in time, I'm going to refer back to an actual post that I told you I was working on the other day. And it took me most of the week. My mind's been other places lately. And the post that I created was on communication when we want it. And it was actually based on a conversation I was having with my old boss last weekend via email, and we were talking about all the cool things that we wanted to do way back when and that are now possible. And as we were chatting back and forth through email here, the conversation of our cable channel in Peoria came up, and as we went back and forth, I started to think about that. You know, we were just absolutely jazzed when we put that cable channel in, and as soon as we put it in, we started realizing there are some limitations with broadcast TV, and one of them was the fact that you actually have to be home in order to watch it. That was a little bit of a problem that we wanted to be able to deal with, and there wasn't much we could do when we started it, although VCRs had been around for years. And I suppose in hindsight, I don't remember if TiVo was out 6 years ago or not, but nonetheless, we did realize that was a problem. The other problem that we realized is, you know, local cable channels are great provided you are a cable subscriber. And then, of course, if you live in the area that cable station is broadcast to, it works out well. I live in a sister city adjacent to Peoria and Glendale. I actually live in Phoenix. And so my Channel 99, my local cable access channel, broadcasts something entirely different than what people in Glendale and Peoria see. So we looked at ways to fix this, and we found a way to fix this through Microsoft streaming server, and we've had that run for a number of years, and it seems to work out very well. But again, we go back to the same issue. You have to be home when it's being broadcast, because actually we sent the same feed we sent to the cable channel out on the web as a streaming format. So there's no such thing that I was aware of for capturing a particular time in a date and time of a stream a streamed video. So, you know, it was kind of an interesting thing, and I started thinking about that, and there are a lot of different ways that we can do this as educators now. Of course, we've got this in Peoria where we've got the cable channel, we've got the streaming service, but I started thinking about how do you do this if you're a school district that does not have access to a cable channel and a streaming server. And furthermore, if you don't have the bandwidth to be able to do this, I did speak to a school district a couple weeks ago that said they were on a 12 megabyte pipe broadcasting out to the web. Well, it's a 12 megabyte pipe to in and out, so that was a combination of both, what they can bring in and what they can send back out on that. And you know, I remember the days when we were at a meg and a half, and then 3 megs, and then 12, and now I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 megs going out and back in. So, you know, we've got some abilities that other folks just don't have. So I started looking around the web, and I came up with two options here. One would be the obvious, the free tools. And that sends a little bit of a cold shiver up the back of my my neck, but nonetheless, there are some things out there we could utilize. I found Blip TV, Blip.tv. I found Kiwigo, Kiwigo, maybe that's how you say it, www.kewego.com. Found Dailymotion, and I found video.google.com. Of course, YouTube. I left YouTube off there just because it is... there's quite a bit of controversial content for education on there. And then finally I put TeacherTube in there as well. So out of all those, you know, Blip TV looked pretty nice as a tool to put content on. And then again, Kiwi was okay. Daily Motion, I've seen some content on there that I just doesn't belong in education, let's say. And then video.google was actually, that was... I think Google started that before they wound up buying YouTube. I don't remember how that all went down, but all of those were kind of slick. Although I think if you're in an education setting and you were wanting to post content to the web in an environment where your neighbors weren't putting content up that would be inappropriate, I think out of all the free ones, TeacherTube would probably be one of your best bets in there. And I also noticed they don't have a huge download problem. I think it was, I can't say that. I don't recall off the top of my head now. There was some limitation to how much you could load, but it was a pretty substantial amount of content and you could load on TeacherTube. So out of all the free services, I like that. And then on the way down to Tucson, I was listening to a podcast and it talked about something called Overlay.tv. And this one really caught my attention because it allows you to put your content on the screen and basically chapter it, bookmark it, however you want to call it. But as you chapter and bookmark it, you can actually put some content on the page. Now, Overlay.tv is really utilizing this as a marketing tool, but I also see the ability when I was looking at the... the website on this, that you know, you could actually use this as a teacher to have a chapter for part of a lesson. So if you talked about two or three different areas in a particular lesson, you could almost chapter that out as it went across. And what this allows for the student to do is they see these tick marks on the timeline where they could click on that tick mark and it would take them right to that section of the video. So interesting concept there, and I thought there's some value in that. I think there'll be something I'll play with as I get some time and see how this could actually work in an educational setting. So I think that's got some cool features to it. So that might be worth some investigating on your part and mine too. Of course, if I investigate it further, I will be happy to share it with you. Nonetheless, I think it could be something cool. Outside of the free tools, of course, you know, like I said, those things, they scare me because of the inappropriate content out there. There are some commercial companies out there that you could actually buy server space from. in order to put content on the web as well. And, you know, I'm still thinking about this, not necessarily from the teacher in the classroom having to shell out their own hard-earned money on this. I'm thinking about this from a district-level perspective, but I do realize there are some folks out there that will gladly open up their wallet because they know it's the right thing to do for kids. So go ahead and talk about these at any rate. Clickcaster.com is one that I found, along with Multicastmedia.com, CyberTechMedia.com, and finally VideoDesk. And I believe, if memory serves me, VideoDesk even would take your old analog content and convert it for you as well. So all of these websites have some unique features to them. Some of them have some free space available, while others have it's all for fee, but they give you quite a bit of bandwidth and quite a bit of space to utilize for a minimal amount of money per month or per year. So if you are in a position where you need to be looking for some tools to be putting some of this content online, I would encourage you to take a peek at that, because there are some good ones. Of course, you know me, I am very cheap. So on the cheap side, I think I'd still push for TeacherTube. But if you do have a necessity to do some other streaming content, multicast content, something like that, I would check out one of those other sites. And of course, if you're scrambling for a pencil right now, have no fear. As always, I put the links to all this stuff in the show notes as well. So, some cool stuff there. Also, I actually bothered to read a piece of email today from BlogLines. Actually, it was a couple days ago, but I bothered to read something from BlogLines. And BlogLines has come out with a new interface, would probably be the best word for this. And basically, it's a new look and feel for BlogLines, and it's still in beta, so you can actually check them out at beta.bloglines.com. And what I really like about this is some of the things I always loved about my install-based RSS readers was the different ways I could look at the content on the screen. And it just had an entirely different look and feel, although I realized the value of the online reader several months ago when I kind of converted over to BlogLines. And I think what they've done is taken the best of both worlds, where you've got best of both worlds. I might have to harmonize that one. Taking the best of both worlds, where they took a lot of the stuff that NetNewsWire and NewsGator was using, and of course that is now free as well, and put this into an online environment. So it's still in beta format. I don't know if they're. I probably would know if I'd investigate it further when they actually make the full swing from what they're currently using into this beta. I think they're kind of out there for test mode right now. But if you are a BlogLines user, you can log into beta.bloglines.com, put your username and password in, and log in and take a look at it. If you're anything like me and you like some of the ability of things you can do with the desktop versions of RSS readers, I think you'll find this one very pleasing as well. So on that note, that kind of takes care of everything else, and since I'm on a roll of talking, I've already had a couple breaks in here, I think I'll just talk a little bit longer here. Wow, 17 minutes already. Holy smokes. And finally, we're down to the last section in here, and this one's posted as Microsoft, Google still going head-to-head. And this is actually something I've known this was coming for a month or two. I actually heard about it originally on a podcast, and Peggy sent this to me today and asked me if I'd seen this. And, of course, I had not seen it live, although I did know it was coming. This is called SkyDriveLive.com. And if you've been paying any attention at all in the last couple of years, Live.com is a Microsoft website, and they're doing quite a bit with it. It's actually, in fact, their Hotmail is being converted over to Live.com, along with a number of other things that Microsoft has going on right now. But Live.com is actually, it has a number of items that are available, but the biggest thing is with the SkyDive. Jump out of an airplane, anybody? SkyDrive, they're actually making five gigabytes of space available to you on the web. And I'm actually logged into my space right now, and I've got the ability to edit my profile, of course, share pictures. They even have a blog in here. I haven't been able to figure out how to find this yet. I can invite friends to it, so I can have a private area on the web for myself, And I can have an area where I can share content with other folks. And this is really kind of slick. The problem with it is the URL is kind of wild. It's right now it is CID-4A7B1CFEEA4F3D2.spaces.live.com. And as I was just writing or just talking to you about all this, I finally found a location where I can actually check the availability of a live.com account. So while I'm talking here, I'm going to type in seanwheeler.spaces.live.com, check the availability of it, and it says, guess what, somebody else already has that. Although it does suggest Sean Eric Wheeler, which is my middle name, so I could do that one as well. But it doesn't like Sean Wheeler. Bummer. Wonder who the other Sean Wheeler is. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take Sean Eric Wheeler dot live. Let's see, Sean Eric Wheeler dot spaces dot live dot com. I'm going to click on save there. And now my new address for my live account, which I like this better, is Sean Eric Wheeler. .spaces.live.com. Hey, you just witnessed the first live something on a podcast. How lame is that? Nonetheless, this is kind of slick. But you know, I'm thinking about this. This has got a lot of good features. This is something that we actually were very pleased with when we put SharePoint Portal in the school district, because we had a thing called a MySpace available to teachers, for teachers to utilize, staff for that matter as well, although we don't give out 5 gigabytes of space. In fact, we're limiting to 50 megs, so I'm thinking, I do have a little bit of concern on this. Will it be open at work? So I'll be paying attention to that, see how that works out. And ideally, you know, this is going to make availability for folks to bring content back and forth. Some people will be glass half empty, half full type. They'll probably think, oh, somebody could bring in dangerous content. Well, I've got a thumb drive on my keychain. I could bring in dangerous content there too. So we're always going to have danger there, and I'm going to take the glass half full take on this one. So, but I will be paying attention. Check it out, and I think I need to update my show notes here to show my new web space account and my new spaces.live account, and check that out. So I think that's all for that. I will round out the rest of the show here, talking to you about on May 3rd. We are having the AST 7th Annual Way Out West Conference. You can check more information out there at www.ast.org/conferences.html, or just hit the web page and click the link for conferences. And of course, it wouldn't be an Adventures in Podcasting if I didn't do a little shameless self-promotion of my new web space. Actually, it's not new anymore. It's almost 3 months old. 2 months old, anyways. And you can find me at www.seanwheeler.name. My blog is at www.seanwheeler.name/blog. And of course, you can always check out the Adventures in Podcasting presentation. I've got 2 locations for it now, although I think I'm going to take the one that's on my staff web and just redirect it to my personal site. And you can check out the show notes in that. I was impressed to see that more people were actually taking a look at that this week as well. In fact, 2 people viewed it today, so I thought that was kind of cool. And, of course, if you want to check out So You Want to Be a Podcaster, that is available on my personal web space as well under the podcasting. Under workshops, and there is a link in the show notes to that. So I think it's since I'm running out of breath and we're pushing the 23-minute mark here, I guess it's time to say have a great Sunday night. Welcome to March. And I think in most places in the world, you're starting to think the days are getting longer. They're certainly getting longer out here. Maybe they're getting a little warmer. I'm about 2 weeks away from debating turning on the air conditioner for those of you up in snow country. And I guess it's finally time to say good night, folks. It's about 7:30 finally. My name's Sean Wheeler. I welcome your comments and your feedback. You are more than welcome to drop me a note. In fact, I encourage you to drop me a note at at sweeler@peoriaud.k12.az.us. And remember, folks, if it's important enough to say to the class, it's important enough for the class to hear it again. Say it again with podcasting. I'm Sean, and I'm gone.
Thanks for joining me today. This wraps up another episode of Adventures in Podcasting. On the way out, I just want to thank a few folks who have unknowingly helped me out with this podcast. Intro and exit music courtesy of DePalm, who can be found on PodSafeAudio.com, Audacity Software for their outstanding and free recording software, and finally Steve Banahan for feed edit software, which allows me to create the XML code for this feed. This is Adventures in Podcasting.